Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are right now. Breadbox Media, share the app and change the world.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome. This is Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. I hope you had a great and blessed weekend. It's such a privilege to be here with you, and I'm so glad that I'm so glad to hear from you, to be with you, to have your questions roll around in my mind, to be able to ponder some of these things that we share in common. We really all do share so much in common, and I'm wondering today things I want to go into today, and it kind of this was Good Shepherd Week, and what a beautiful concept, Good Shepherd Week. And so I want to go into that a little bit because it really does work for your mental health. If I have time, I want to talk a little bit about Hippocrates and what he says about the brain, which is pretty amazing that we think we just discovered something fabulous. And really, Hippocrates was talking about it a long time ago and probably people before him. So what was that? Well, we'll get into that and later on in the program if we can, if we have time for that. But I wanted to spend a goodly amount of time in what you feel about yourself. Do you feel that you're never good enough no matter what you do? You're not a good mom. You're not a good wife. You're not a good person. You're not a good member of the faithful. You're not a good co-worker. You're not good enough. Or maybe it all has to do with you. You can look and say, yes, I'm a good mom. I'm this and that, but I'm not fit enough. I'm not healthy enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not driven enough. I'm not focused enough. All these I'm not enoughs. I'm not a blank enough. Do you suffer from that? Well, that could really be a problem. That could lead to in the direction of that general term, catchphrase, being a codependent. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I also want to talk about the kind of backfiring of shame. That oftentimes people who have these qualities, these actually very good qualities, big helpers, rescuers, helping other people, getting them to their places for their own mental health or physical health, to put yourself out to where you're tired, you're exhausted. And I'm not talking about your kids now. You can get to that part of excess with your children, but I'm talking about going above and beyond all the time to your own detriment. That can cause a feeling of shame and a feeling of your shortcomings when you just keep falling short of the mark, or you find that you're spending so much time in one area that you have a hard time being present with your husband, your kids, your job, or even for yourself. So I want to talk a little about shame and when it starts to backfire on you, when it's healthy, when it's not. Everything that the human emotion can feel, everything you feel can go from a normal, healthy part of the spectrum. It's kind of hydrated. It's got all little colors in there. It's great. Or it can start sliding over into the other part of the spectrum, where the spectrum starts to get a little gray and a little dismal and a little dreary and a little one-sided, a little only lacking color, lacking balance. So every emotion you can feel, nobody can feel happy on, giddy all the time. And if they do for an extraordinary amount of time, inappropriately, where there's really nothing to really point to, then there's probably going to be a crash around the corner because we always want to be in balance. So how do we be in balance? What is too much? Well, let's go into that today, because there's things like objective guilt, and there's other, there's objective guilt, and then there's more kind of pathological guilt. So we're going to kind of look at that, because guilt produces shame. If you're constantly walking around in a state of guilt, then you oftentimes will have a lot of shame. And you can easily slip from a normal, healthy, objective guilt, something you did wrong, you feel a little bad about it, and you go to rectify it, to a codependent type of guilt or a more pathological type of guilt. I want to talk about that too. I talk a lot about the things that if you're very faith-based, very Christian-based, that there's a fine line between that balance oftentimes. In a faith-based situation, there's the good, healthy guilt, there's good, healthy remorse, there's good, healthy repentance, and then there's the excessive, where it starts to snowball. It's almost like that you've heard of people who, let's say they have one plastic surgery, they want to correct something, they've broken their nose, let's say, maybe as a child, or they have some reason that something has occurred to them, or they just want to look better, and then they go to the next one, then they keep looking, and they keep going further, and they see this, different imperfections they'd never seen before, and then they go to get more plastic surgery, and then you have the body dysmorphic, which means the person who then sees everything and they keep going for all these 10, 20, 30 surgeries. Well, the same can happen with emotion and guilt. Same can happen with addictions, personal and less tangible addictions. Like I said, it's very difficult in any kind of substance, but with a substance, you have an actual thing. You have, I pick this up, I go buy it, I engage in it, I can start it, I can stop it. Emotions are a little bit more difficult to get a grasp on, to get a handle on. So I want to kind of clarify that as we go on in the program too. I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about this great little phrase I've heard several times this week, so I think I'll repeat it to you if you haven't heard it. And a priest actually, or a deacon, I think. No, it was a priest in his homily yesterday, made a point of it. And I want you to ponder this. All saints have a past. All sinners have a future. So in other words, no one just pops out perfect. Nobody is beyond redemption. It is never too late. And anything you've done in the proper approach of the proper way can be something of the past. So oftentimes I don't use gospel, et cetera, to really go into the mental health things. But this, gosh, you know, this Lent and this Easter season, so many of these things have lent themselves to good mental health issues. So I want to talk about leaving the past in the past. I want to talk about the shame and the guilt. And we can ponder these things by remembering all saints have a past, all sinners have a future, which is where you need to understand you are. There isn't a saint you can talk about that didn't have some kind of past, a trauma, a misunderstanding, an injustice, debauchery. You know, there's just not one out there you can point to that didn't have some kind of an odd past. All sinners have a future, which means that no matter what you've done, no matter what you're beating yourself up over, no matter how you look, no matter if you were that person who ended up with a body dysmorphic disorder and either starved yourself or did too many plastic surgeries or too many alterations or got really obsessed in a particular area, that's just an example, then you have a future, because anything that you're engaged in can stop. Anything. One of the things in one of the readings yesterday, it was about, I think the very end part was the apostles going off and trying to preach or trying to do certain things, and the the elders of the church weren't very happy about them. They were jealous and angry, and so they incited people, the noble women of the town, to kind of give them a hard time and start kind of the ball rolling as far as like getting rid of the apostles and kind of cutting them down. And so what the apostles did, what did they do? They saw what was happening, and what the reading said is they symbolically shook the dust from their sandals and went down the road. And that's what we have to symbolically do as well. If we find ourselves in these traps, if we find ourselves in these circular ways of being, that we pile more guilt upon guilt, we confess or we try better and we keep trying, and it comes all down to we are never good enough. And then we start thinking, well, gee, I did this, I did that. Every little thing, ancient history gets brought up, and we beat ourselves, women especially, we beat ourselves over our heads with it. It's time for you to shake the dust from your sandals and move on. Because all saints have a past. All saints have been broken. And all sinners have a future. So sinning is, you're missing the mark. I think it came from, it means error. But they used it for archery terms as well. A sin, you're just missing the mark. So you're missing a mark on that, and you have a future. You can shake that dust and move on. So how do you do that, especially in these more ethereal things, the things that aren't so tangible? So we're going to look at that thing that a lot of women have, never good enough. Actually, a lot of men have that too. You feel you've ingested something. You think your fathers or the male population has been telling you that you've never measured up to, either intellectually, physically, joke-wise, humor-wise, anyway, talent-wise. Same with women, that somehow we've got something out there, some nebulous standard that we've just never measured up to, and somehow we just know we just aren't good enough. Well, let's change some of that, and we'll start changing on the other side of the break. This is Dr. Michelle.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are right now. Breadbox Media, share the app and change the world.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me on Dr. Michelle Live. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. So, we are having a crazy time here. It's getting very warm, and lots of dust and lots of stuff is around. So, you may just come up with me trying to push that mute button again to cough. May work, may not, but you've all been so great as I keep losing my voice and not losing my voice. So, thank you. All right, so we're talking about this never good enough feeling. The feeling that you're just never good enough. And we tend to, those people who are prone to that, if you are prone to that, if you came from a background where either everyone was such an overachiever, or you felt in some way, even without being explicitly told, that you were supposed to measure up to something, live up to something, or maybe as a child you were even praised for being so good at helping out brothers and sisters, at being the family shoulders, at taking care of the mom or taking care of the dad or grandparents or something, that you were so praised for it that you begin to get your identity and your self-worth out of helping people, out of rescuing people, out of doing for them what sometimes they should be doing for themselves. And it's a little counterintuitive because we say, well, yeah, they need help. Of course we want to help them. But if it is at the expense of ourselves, and if that's how we get our identity, then we have a problem. So if you find that, and how do we, what's the tip off? You can say, well, sure, I have an identity. I work, I'm a marketer, or I'm a mother, I'm me, I'm who I am, I'm a wife, I'm whatever your particular area that you find you identify with most, you are identifying with. It is not your identity. There's a distinction there. Identifying with is something that you externally hold on to as a little bit of an anchor for who you are. And identity comes from within. Identity is strong, stable. It's good 2 feet on the ground internally inside yourself. And a lot of us have no idea what that feels like. It's not even on, it's like we do not compute. It is not even on our screens. There is no default button for that. So if you are one of those people that somehow feel like you're just not good enough. And what are some of the tip-offs? Well, you allow your children to bully you. You allow your husbands to bully you. You allow other people to bully you. And even in a very light way, they get used to you being the one who will always defer. You're the one that will always... It's different than being there. It's different than being a good mom or a good wife. Of course, you have to sacrifice. But sometimes when we bring this sacrificial feeling to an art form, to where it is our identity and it's not actually done of free will, it's because that's how we get our sense of self and that's how we get our needs fulfilled. That's the problem. So oftentimes, we, as people of faith, we place something on guilt because we say, look, we have a need to repent. We aren't always acting in our own best interest or the best interest of others. So we need to look at that. Well, when you tell someone who, for lack of a better term, I'll say is codependent, when you say that to them, it fits right in with their way of being, what they've learned. So oftentimes, someone who is codependent has that sense of constant guilt. Now, someone doesn't just say, gee, I think I'm codependent. Most often, the person has suffered from some kind of addictions themselves, some kind of eating disorder, some kind of self-hatred or self-loathing, some kind of depression, some kind of feelings of just angst and despair, some kinds of feeling like this compulsive rat or a little hamster on a wheel, where you feel like you need to compulsively keep doing things for someone who does not appreciate it or isn't really getting better. There's no glory to it. And I don't mean glory that you get praise, but I mean there's nothing good coming out of it. They're not getting better. You're just digging yourself into a hole trying to get them better when they're just sitting there. So whether it's the ungratefulness of a child, where you've actually fed and empowered a sense of entitlement, that's not a good thing, but yet you feel like you're not being a good parent because they might act a little depressed or they might act a little angry or they might act out a bit to you. Now, acting out, if it gets extreme, I'm just going to put this little caveat in there. If there's any talk of suicide or anything like that, take it seriously. You're not going to figure this stuff out in a day, but it's a good time right now. So I'm not talking about those extreme situations. I'm talking about someone who is becoming defiant or rolls their eyes at you all the time. It sounds just like a regular teenager, or perhaps extends their boundaries. They might say something derogatory to you, which they shouldn't do. But you feel, well, I'd be a hypocrite, or I'm a bad person too, or I've done this similar thing to my parents, so I'll accept it for my child. These are the things where you're actually diminishing yourself in an unhealthy way. So the kind of guilt, it's almost like, you know how we talk about in our confession, if we are Catholic, or a lot of times in public, in prayer, where you talk about the things you've done, the offenses you've committed against others, the offenses you've committed against yourself, what you've done, what you haven't done, what you failed to do. Well, that brings in an awful lot of stuff. And yes, in the proper light, that's how we learn and grow. That's how you teach your children. That's how we were taught. If you don't make your bed and don't wash your clothes, you're going to have a lot of dirty clothes, and you're going to have a real rumpled bed, and it's going to get all, you're going to get all wound up in the covers. Those are kind of the consequences for what we do. But if the person constantly lives in shame, my bed can never be made good enough, my clothes can never get clean enough, I'm a dirty person, I'm, you know, you just start self-deprecating, then that is an unhealthy guilt. So same thing for the things we've done, the things we haven't done. We say that, if you're Catholic, you say that right in the middle of, right in the beginning of Mass, you know, for things I've done and things I've failed to do. But you can go overboard with that. You feel guilty about just about everything. I shouldn't have cut this person off accidentally. I should have been looking where I was going when I accidentally bumped into that person at the store. I should have been a nicer person. I shouldn't have felt grumbly. I shouldn't feel this way. It's just constantly you talking bad to you. You don't want to do that. You want to move away from that. So how do we tell? Well, that kind of guilt, when you feel guilt for just about everything, what it does is, it's what is the fruit? By their fruits you shall know them. So it's not of God, it's not of goodness, it's not of growth to have as the fruit of your thoughts feelings of worthlessness and shame. That cannot help anybody, and it keeps you stuck. In fact, I've heard it said that it is even a form of pride, because you're just, you are determined to stay, whether you like it or not. You'll say to me, well, I don't like feeling this way. And no, you don't. But you don't know anything else. So once you start opening your eyes, it's time to shift it a little bit. We just shift it a little bit at a time. It's like once you realize, oh my gosh, like I did last year, I gained however much weight it was, 10 pounds or whatever, in a year and a half. And it was a shock to me. I kind of knew it, but when I actually saw it, it was like, wow. So my eyes are opened, and I can either choose to continue down that, go down that path, and not kind of take a look and see what I'm doing differently in my life. And maybe I'm utilizing food in a way that might be even mildly unhealthy. Maybe I'm doing it to alleviate stress, or maybe I'm just making the wrong food choices. Those things are, that's where you wake up and you start looking at it. But if you start blaming yourself, well, I'm just a big fat nothing, and you know, I'm never going to get any better. And believe me, I'm saying this because I've done this. So I kind of know what I'm talking about inside myself, but also I, you know, that's who I deal with. I deal with you. I deal with me. I deal with the world. This is what we do. This is the traps we can fall into. So the real guilt, like let's take weight for an example. Healthy guilt, it's not really even guilt, would be, yeah, you know what, I have really been going out, and every day I buy those two packages of M&Ms. I told you I had this thing with M&Ms a couple of years ago, or last year. And so it's like, yeah, I go out and buy. And so if I do it every day, I can look back and go, oh my gosh, look what I did. I'm not even aware that I'm doing that. When I stop for coffee, I'm grabbing M&Ms. No wonder I gained 10 pounds. You feel bad for a second. You feel a little stupid. You know, like, oh my gosh, really? Did I really do that to myself? And you kind of chastise yourself for maybe giving in to something you thought might not be healthy, or just being so busy you don't even pay it a second mind. But then the healthy approach is, okay, so what can I do about it? That's an objective situation, objective. The weight was put on. It really isn't that healthy. I can see where it came from. Now, what am I going to do to change it? And then the outcome, will either be that I have to work on and see that I'm not willing to do discipline, or I change it and something positive happens in my life. By their fruits, you shall know them. So if I sit around, beat myself up again and have to get more M&Ms because I'm beating myself up and I feel guilty, that is not the healthy. That is not productive. That is going into old patterns and old ways that only keep you trapped. But by actually trying little by little to say, hey, wait, I got to put the brakes on here. That's what we're talking about. We'll see you on the other side of the break and take this up.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are right now. Breadbox Media, share the app and change the world.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am Dr. Michelle, and you're walking today with me on Dr. Michelle Live. We're walking this path together, as we have for a while now. It's pretty awesome, pretty wonderful. You can call me 573-4-BREAD-4 and weigh in and let me know how you feel about things. You can also let me know by emailing. I think it feels like it's more comfortable for a lot of you to email rather than have your voice on the air. But let me tell you, you can be anonymous. Oftentimes people don't even recognize voices. People tell me all the time, oh, that's you. So somehow I must sound different on the air than I do in real life. And so, although it is real life, so don't worry about it. Or you can email me dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You can also download the app from iTunes. So that's also a great way to at least look at and listen. You can look at archives. We have all these different subjects from months and months and months back. So just go ahead and take a look and listen to one that seems to resonate with you. So we are looking at this feeling of never good enough. And I know, because you tell me, you really feel it. You feel it inside. Now, how can that sometimes manifest itself in your relationships? Well, have you ever said to yourself that if I was a better wife or girlfriend or husband, if I was a better wife, he wouldn't feel this way. He wouldn't be so stressed. If I were just a better housekeeper, if I was just a better listener, if I was a better talker, if I was smarter, if I was more educated, he wouldn't have the stresses he had. He wouldn't have to yell so much. So if you've ever said anything like that to yourself, again, now this is where the trap. So just be careful here, because all of us can go, all of us have room for improvement in all those areas. Well, of course I could be a better listener. Of course you could be a better housekeeper or better, you can always educate yourself and you don't stay stuck in life. Of course we can all do that. We all need that. But that's a different, that's the trap. Remember, there's that balance. If you're catching yourself, actually leads to some growth and change and some really good stuff and feel empowering you, feeling good about yourself instead of beating you up into shame and worthlessness and allowing others to go, yeah, you are the reason I'm such a jerk. That is really important to distinguish for you right now. That's where people don't get it. A lot of people that are married to addicts, or addicts themselves, but a lot of people are married to addicts that often think, if I just give them space, they will do what they say they're going to do. Or if I don't pressure them so much about being home with the kids, then they wouldn't have to drink to kind of calm themselves down. Or if I go ahead and make all these phone calls and then I go out of my way and I get a babysitter and I do this and I do that in order to get them to their meeting, then everything will be okay. You see the little bit of a distinction there? And then you just get frustrated because you realize that that's not changing anything. So you start beating yourself up. It's about your lack. So the let's talk rather than healthy, unhealthy, let's talk about it as objective and lacking objectivity. So objective guilt is something that you can point to and be able to see that with a little modification, you see good fruits. It makes you feel better. It's more empowering. You don't have that constant knot in the pit of your stomach or butterflies in your chest because you're working in an actions of futility. When your guilt lacks objectivity and it's about you not forgiving yourself by being worthless and unacceptable and that you can never do anything good enough no matter how hard you try. Those are all words of a non-objective guilty person, a codependent type guilt. You do everything. I do everything I can and it never makes a difference. I must not be being good enough, or I must have the bad intentions, or God must not like me, or it's because, you know, I did this way back in my youth, or back in 10 years ago, I did something, whatever it could be. Whatever you did in your life that you still can't forgive yourself for. And I heard a priest recently say that there's an issue with some church members, scholars, whoever, teachers, about how it's not right to say that you should forgive yourself, that kind of implies that you're taking the place of God. The priest that was talking about this certainly refuted that, and that was his opinion, he said. But I immediately, to me, I'm not going to weigh in on the church exactly and what they say, but I find that really picking at semantics, picking at the letter of the word. We're not supposed to be picking at the letter of the law. No, it's about forgiving yourself, which means to say, it's not that you're giving yourself the almighty forgiveness, but you're giving yourself a break for acting in a manner in which you did because that's all you knew to do at the time, or because out of fear, anxiety, pressure, you did went against what you thought was right, or because you were brought up in such a way that you were a codependent person so that you always shut out what you thought was right. You couldn't even listen to it anymore. You couldn't hear. You couldn't hear. You could hear the wrong things. It was great because in the homily yesterday, when the priest was talking about hearing the voice of the shepherd, he mentioned, I haven't researched this, but he said he wasn't going into it there, but that the root, some root of the word, or wherever the word that we've translated over the thousands of years to say hear in the English language, H-E-A-R, hearing the voice, actually was translated from a word that actually meant yield your life to the voice. So whose voice are you yielding your life to? Are you yielding your life to the negative voice in your head that came from somewhere? Or are you yielding your life to the intuitive and empowered and powerful voice that comes from God through you? You need to ask yourself, and how do you even begin to know? Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. If the fruit is just more the same, worthless shame, those are like the two biggies. Yeah, I identify with that. Worthless shame. Those are like, you know, those are like my daily friends. If you feel that, then you know the fruits aren't good. There's a little issue there. So what do we do about that? We're going to go into that and on the other side of the break when we come back for the last segment. But before we get there, remember that an objective guilt produces a good, refreshing change and outcome. That's what repentance is all about. Repent, turn from, turn around. retrace, go back, but not go back and dwell in it. Go back and change it. I can't take back. I can change the action. I can't go back and get rid of all those M&Ms I ate when I just wanted to run out and think, oh, you know, well, that worked today. I'll just do it again tomorrow. And coffee and M&Ms became my thing. I can't undo that. And the fruit of it is that I'm carrying around some extra weight that isn't healthy. So what I can do, though, is repent of the out of controlledness I had, or the lack of focus, or the lack of insight, but not beat myself up for it. And then start. And then the next time I have that craving, or I go down and I think, oh, well, I'll just grab it's right there sitting in front of me, stop myself. And then soon I will have a refreshing change. And that's what you need. The wrong kind of guilt will have a crushing feeling. A crushing. So we women know a lot about that, because that's kind of inculturated in us in this culture, especially around food, especially around body image. So you can kind of see that, even if you can't see it in other places. So there are things we can do about it, and I want to get into those in just a bit, because it's like, wake up is number one. Open your eyes. If someone shakes your arm a little bit, go ahead, open your eyes, see who it is, see what they're saying. Does it have any kind of resonance for you at all? If it does have a resonance, like, yeah, you know, I kind of feel like the wimp of the family, or I kind of feel like I never really can get on my game. I'm just not good enough. You know, I should have just been better. Or you have all this kind of vague things you could have done. And it keeps smoldering and festering. If that kind of resonates a little bit with you, or you do the thing where you do seem to be like constantly feeling that you need to help more, that you're responsible for the other people, how they feel. If they're irritable, it's your fault. If your child's having a cranky day, it's your fault. Unless, of course, they're two or three and you kept them out too long. Again, common sense. Your husband isn't a very kind person, or your wife, and it's your fault. So if you start thinking that, now sometimes it can be. So again, I'm saying temper this with reason, of course, but it is time to dust your sandals and grab some healthy tools and walk on. So we're going to go into those healthy tools on the other side of the break. This is Dr. Michelle. We will see you on the other side of the break.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are right now. Breadbox Media, share the app and change the world.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. You are listening to, well, you're actually participating in, not just listening to, you're walking with me. This is the whole point of this. I'm not saying something to you, giving you a doctrine. We're like conversing here. This is something we all feel. We all go through, more or less. And if you start getting way down the road, it can bring some big problems. It can bring in depression. And then you go to the doctor and they go, yeah, you're depressed. Here's some medicine. Or yeah, you have anxiety. Here's some medicine. Now, my caveat always is, do not get off your medicines from something you hear here, please. We need to reach out to good counselors, good doctors, people who are there to help us. We are all part of one giant body, and we all have different talents and charisms, and we all need to partake in that. That's what we're about. You can't do it yourself. If you are a neurosurgeon and you're listening to this, I'm going to tell you, do not operate on your own brain. I mean, really, I mean, that's kind of like a no-brainer, right, so to speak. Well, we kind of try to do that ourselves. Oh, I'm just fine. I don't need to see anybody. I don't need to talk it over with anybody. That's weakness. There's that stigma is still there. No matter what we say, we don't want to feel weak. And it's no different than way back during war, when a lot of the guys from World War II and women, World War II, the Korean War, had severe, horrible PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, from just the most awful things that they experienced or saw that would just, you know, you can't even imagine. Maybe you'll see it in some movie somewhere. And yet they never said a word to anybody, not even someone who was on the same, let's say, ship that blew up or liberated the same POW camp. They would talk about it. They might meet over the years, but they would never talk about the nightmares. They would never talk about waking up and punching out their wife. They would because out of PTSD, because they didn't know what they were doing. They were living that again. They never talked about those cold sweats or any of those things, because they thought that would be weak. And so everyone ran around thinking that nobody else feels that way. So that's what we do. We look at our celebrities. Nobody else feels that way because, look, they're all having awesome times and they all can lose weight in 2 seconds and they all look gorgeous 1 second and they get dumped and are in love. And, you know, it's just like, wow, everything happens in 1 second. But it just, you know, so we know better than that, but yet we're not immune to marketing and to being love bombed, so to speak. You can love bomb somebody. A person can love bomb somebody to just, like, you know, give them so much of a good feeling, and then they can crash them back down again. Well, we can be bombed by all this news and all this, you know, this is what women are, this is what men are, this is what relationships are all about, this is what you need to be fearful of. And we need to move away from that. So I told you I would help tell you how to begin grappling with this never good enough feeling. Now, if you find yourself, and I've hit upon a few things that you go, well, you know, this codependence thing, I don't like the term, but maybe there's something there for me. Because a lot of women have been brought up in, especially in our broken home situation, where we do, and a lot of men too, and a lot of people who have had addictions in the past, actually at the root, not the root, but part of the root, as they start uncovering and getting away from their addictions or their, whether it was self-injury or whether it was eating disorders or whether it was overachieving or working out too much, whatever, that they find that after those layers start to go away, out comes the codependence. Out comes that feeling that they are responsible for everybody else. They are responsible to be the biggest, the best, the awesome. They have to be the shoulders. They have to be the one who understands, who always listens, but gets none of their needs met. And that to them is a good person. So that can be depleting. And again, by their fruits. So you look at your daily life, you look at your interactions and start looking at the fruit. If your mother calls, your sister calls, and you get that knot in your stomach and you just feel more drained after talking to them, or if you know that your spouse who says they're not going to drink again, you just get that same feeling because this is a 10th time. But you beat yourself up for not supporting them when they're really making no true, honest effort to change their life. Then we got to look at this. So what can we do? Once you have that little inkling inside of you, first of all, make a commitment to yourself to shake the dust from your sandals and move on. You don't undo the past. You're not going to go anywhere by ignoring the past, but you're not going to go anywhere by dwelling in the past. That's why you need a good, skilled therapist who doesn't just keep you in the same place for 10 years, but that will bring up and show you little nuggets from your past that will help you to see, wow, see, it happened here, and oh, look, it happened there, and wow, I didn't think about it that way. And then you start getting all these pieces of your puzzle being put together, and that is a good thing. So first, just those little bits of awakening. So recognize, yeah, I hear a bell going off. First, recognize that you want something different. So recognition is huge. We can recognize we want something different in our lives. We can recognize that this just ain't working. We can recognize that, you know what, I'm just about done with hearing the promise that never comes about. This is the 10th time we're going to try this again, that you promise you're not going to do something, or the 10th time you say that you're going to put gas money in when I, you know, go and pick up, you know, your brother-in-law or something. There's and I don't get it, and now I'm getting angry inside. These are the things you need to start looking at. Become aware. Commit to becoming aware. First, know that you want to change. Commit to becoming aware. Once you ask for awareness, I read to you about wisdom, that just pondering wisdom makes wisdom show up. And part of loving wisdom and getting more wisdom is the discipline that wisdom demands. This was in the Book of Wisdom. So I think I read that to you last week. It was chapter 6, I think. So if you can get to that, take a look. It was chapter 6, and it was like around verse, oh boy. It starts out with wisdom is bright and never dim, something like that. But it will tell you pretty much. So once you start learning, don't shut it off. Then realize. So go ahead and realize. Let yourself realize, wow, I've been doing part of this to myself. Even though people are doing it to you, I've been doing it myself. I keep picking up my brother-in-law, and he keeps telling me that he's going to put in that $5, and yet you just see that he shows up with a six-pack, and he just spent the $5 on the six-pack or bought a pack of cigarettes. Whatever it could be, you know, these things kind of start wearing at people after a while. The other thing is repent. Repent for the time lost, repent for the sadness, but repent like soldiers repent or like the mariners repent. Hightail it or out, back up, get away. And you can do that by being aware and recognizing. Then what you want to do is keep, again, every time you start with something small. Maybe it is that extra bagel that you're used to getting or that latte that you've decided to put the sugar in every morning. Just take a look at something like that and then change it and see the difference between beating yourself up. Oh, gee, I would have beaten myself up. Or say no to your brother-in-law. You know what? This time, or warn them, next time you're paying me. Or however you're comfortable doing it, to see the fruits and then feel the recharging, feel the refreshing. It's like, you know, when you refresh that page that all of a sudden isn't working anymore when you're trying to watch a video and you kind of get kind of stuck and it's not really working right. Well, refresh that page. Refresh. You'll feel it. You'll see it. Look at the fruits. The fruits will be recharging and refreshing, not with the same old, oh my gosh, I'm just worthless. I'm stupid. There are people, adults, and you might be one of them. Are you? You can email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, or you can call 573-4BREAD-4. We have a couple minutes left, not much. But there are people who, without even being aware, they really aren't aware that out of their mouth and in their mind and heart, when they do something, like they pick up a red notebook from the grocery store when they really wanted a purple one or something, and they go, oh, I'm just so stupid. It just comes out of the mouth so easy. I'm just so stupid. I'm such a dork. I'm so dumb, or I'm so this, or I'm so that. I'm such a scatterbrain. You're defining yourself. You're laying out your carpeting that you're going to walk on before you actually do it. And you're beating yourself up, and you're getting that little hamster wheel going. So look at it in terms of, if what you're thinking, feeling, and doing promotes love and acceptance of yourself with a tinge of forgiveness, unless you do something on purpose, or if it is actually fueling feeling worthless and unacceptable and full of shame and bitterness and resentment. So Those are the things you have to see. Look at the fruits. Does what I do produce sorrow, shame, making me feel kind of gross or depressed or despairing inside? Or does what I do empower me, make me feel good, make me feel like I can do this, like I've got some direction in life? Those are our first steps. And always, really, reach out. Maybe go to an Al-Anon group, see what you think, or go to a counselor, go to a good someone who you know, and ask for some help. Maybe ask for a partner that can help you when you start saying those self-deprecating things to yourself so you can change those. Well, we'll pick this up tomorrow. This is Dr. Michelle. We will see you tomorrow. Please email me, dmlive@redboxmedia.com. Until then, God bless.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are right now. Redbox Media, share the app and change the world.